you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
Good.
So great to connect with you. Thank you so much for thinking of me.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I'm always inspired by your emails, and I've been to some of your events. So yeah.
Fabulous.
Hello, and welcome to my podcast, You Inspired. We cover topics such as health, entrepreneurship, relationships, parenting, and just ways to help you live your best life. Today, I have with me Susie Lula. Welcome, Susie.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Yes, it's great. And you're calling from Los Angeles.
I am.
I'm in Colorado. Just a little bit about Susie. Susie is a visionary leader who is transforming the way people think about self-care and motherhood. She is a best-selling author of The Motherhood Evolution, How Thriving Mothers Raise Thriving Children. Amazing title. A much sought-after spiritual psychologist, inspirational speaker, and author, Susie challenges conventional thinking that says that mothers must sacrifice and martyr themselves to be good mothers, and instead guides them to the realization that when they thrive, their children and all those around you will flourish as well. Susie is redefining motherhood from simply surviving to powerfully thriving. Susie's changing the world for our next generations, one thriving mother at a time. So I'm so happy to be talking with you today. I first met Susie, I saw her speak at the Agape Spiritual Center in LA. I don't know if you knew this, but I used to sing in the choir. So I sang with your husband, Jamie Lula.
Oh, that's so wonderful. I used to sing in the choir.
And you did too. Okay.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah. So it was an amazing experience. And you know about the choir. I mean, how amazing they are and everywhere they go and the people that they sing with. So it was incredible. But it was just amazing to see Susie and Jamie's connection and relationship at the church and, you know, and years later now talking to her. So tell me a little bit about yourself and why you started your business helping moms with self-care and releasing guilt.
Well, you know, I am a mom and I have a 17-year-old son now. He's a junior in high school. And, you know, I was a therapist before I had my child. Before I was married, I was a therapist. So I've been a therapist for, you know, a little over 20 years. And before I had my son, I, you know, I had a really thriving private practice. And like you said, you know, I'm blessed. I'm able to speak at many different, you know, spiritual centers and different places around the world. And but once I had my son, the thing that changed for me mostly was taking care of myself, taking care of my soul, taking care of just my being. Everything obviously became about my son because, you know, when you have an infant, they need you 24/7. Mm. But what I started realizing was that not only almost to the person, every mother I would speak to, whether they were a client, a friend, and also I would say clients who are women, you know, I think this crosses the genders, but I think especially for women, we are really taught to take care of everyone else first. And we're taught that taking care of ourselves is selfish. And what I began to learn in my own experience of being a mom is that when I didn't take care of myself, I wasn't showing up in the way that I knew my son needed me to be. I was impatient. I was frustrated. I would, you know, yell. I would just be this person, like, who is this person showing up, you know? And when I did take care of myself, and my soul, my heart, my whole being, physically, emotionally, spiritually, I was better able to take care of him. And so it just set me off on this passion of really giving women permission to not only take care of ourselves, but to take care of ourselves first and foremost, so that we can then be the friend, the spouse, the mother, the, you know, person in work, in our career, that we are here to be. So that's pretty much what set me on my, you know, lit the fire of passion under me.
That's incredible. And you know what's so interesting is this came up for me the other day. I have a 4 and 7-year-old, a 7-year-old son, and he really knows how to push my buttons, of course, my child. And we were about to go to the gym, and they were going to go to the daycare, the free daycare at the gym while I work out. And my son literally says, "I'm not going. You always put yourself first. You're so selfish." I mean, everything that you were saying, that society. Yeah. And he even thought that. I was like, oh my God, I thought that was something that just society pushed on us, but no.
Then how did you answer that? Like, and what happened? What happened inside of you? How did you feel inside? I'm on the edge of my seat.
Oh, I bet you are, as a therapist. You really be there like a fly on the wall.
Well, I just think you speak, you're speaking for so many, many mothers right now. This is what I hear all day long, whether it's your actual child saying it or your own voice inside of your head.
Right.
I'm really serious. I'm wondering, because I think, and I'm going to cut ahead. I don't know how you felt inside, but I know that most moms have not been taught to have the presence to just get down on their child's level and say, yes, you know, it's true. Mommy is taking care of herself first. And sometimes that might be hard for you, but I'm going to be the best mommy I can be today, you know, because I'm going to the gym. Like, I need this. I need to go to the gym. Like, it's food for me. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that we've been taught how to take ownership of it, because I think that question will stop coming at us. I think it comes at us because we still carry it as mom.
Oh, that's true. There must be a grain of that in me. Oh, you're so right.
Yeah. And who do I think I am?
Right. And you know what? Okay. So I have to be honest. I did say yes. I did start there. I said, yes, I do put myself first. And I said, because this is important to me and I feel good when I do this. And I hope that someday you'll put yourself first too, because you're important. Mm-hmm. And I said, after this, then we get to do what you want to do and it'll be your day. And so he didn't say much, but he did get in the car. So
yeah, I think that's a beautiful way to answer it. I think that's a very authentic way to answer it. And I think, you know, it matters that we as women, we as mothers, give ourselves permission and really talk about this. Like, you just gave such a real example that I think so many, many mothers listening are going to relate to, because most of us would be dumbfounded and not know what to say back to our child, you know? But you handled that beautifully. And the other thing that I've learned to say to my son also is to bring in the quality of abundance and say, you know what? And there's more than enough for you to get to take great care of yourself and your sister and me. Ooh. You know, there's more than enough for everybody, because I think that's the heart. That is at the heart of why mothers don't give ourselves permission to take care of ourselves, because we erroneously think and have been taught that there isn't enough. And it is true, there's only a certain number of hours in the day.
Right.
But
yeah, like not enough time.
Right. But we haven't really embodied and integrated that actually there is more than enough for everyone to get their needs met. And moms have just been erroneously taught like there's enough space for everybody else except us, you know? So I love that example. It's a very real example.
Well, yeah, it came up so recently, and I was proud of myself for for still standing my ground and not backing down and still saying we're going. And this is that important to me, because I really had to dive deep inside myself. Is this really that important to me? Is this really, do I really need to do this right now when my kids are so resistant? And it did. And it was, and it was a learning experience for all of us. And my daughter was just, you know, she was compliant, just going along with the flow and everything. But maybe it was good for her to see that interaction and having
absolutely for a young girl to have a woman, a mother model to her that it's okay to take care of herself and that you had a voice for yourself. I think that's so powerful. And it's why I often say that self-care or soul care is a very courageous act. And what I mean by that is that in that moment, that could have stopped you in your tracks. Like, oh my gosh, who do I think I am? Maybe I don't need to go to the gym. Like, it could have really stopped you in your tracks. And so it's a very courageous act when either in our own mind or in your case, like your son actually verbalized something that is in our cultural ethers. And that's what courage is. Courage is having something been taught to us and then make the decision to break out of that box and take the road less traveled. So I honor and acknowledge you. It's a very courageous act, and only another mom would know that, you know, when you decide, you know, I'm actually going to make a salad for lunch instead of eating the crust of this peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, I'm going to take the time and make a nice salad for myself, or light some candles in the evening, or just the simple things that have us get, you know, disconnected from our own spirit.
Yeah. So what are some ways that you can release that guilt and move beyond what society thinks of you, or maybe your husband or your family? What are some tips to do?
Yeah, that? I think you said it. You know, I think first of all, for a mother to really take some quiet time, it could be when you're falling asleep at night, it could be when you're changing diapers, you know, but just take that internal time to ask yourself, what is really important to me? What is it that will have me and my spirit stay connected so that I retain my life force and my vitality and my creativity and my inspiration? And so that answer might be different. So the tip is to ask yourself the question, what's important to me? What is valuable to me? And make a list of like 20 things, 40 things, so that on any given day, you have a list of things. Like today, I had a client unexpectedly cancel at the last minute. She's a very consistent client, you know, but she had a meeting come up. And so I had an hour free. Wow. So with that hour, now granted, I'm at a different phase in my life because my son is 17. He's at school. Many of your listeners may be new moms, so this might not have been possible, but actually it would have been what I chose to do. It was a beautiful day in Los Angeles. So, you know, and we're just getting over winter. So I chose to go out and take a quick walk, right? Mm-hmm. So if my son had still been an infant, I would have popped him in that stroller, you know, but it's obviously easier for me to say. But what I did, the point is, I had a list. I knew in my mind there were seven different things I could have done. I happened to own a Peloton bike. I could have gone and ridden my bike. Go out in nature is what I chose. I could have on my bedside table right now is a book called The Tao of Motherhood. I could have just read something inspirational from there. We chatted about this online, about the email that I just sent out to my list. It was about the Kobe Bryant tragedy that happened, but where I'm going with it in my tips is that I've been listening to this Lady Antebellum song called I Was Here, and I sent that song to everyone. But like, I'm saying that only because off the top of my head, there were 10 different things that would feed me during that time. Mm. And so when you have, I could have gone and made a beautiful salad, you know, when you have these things that really feed your soul. So I like that Lady Antebellum song. It just lights me up, you know, with those lyrics. I want to do something that matters with the time that I've been given, or this book, you know, a book that just lights you up, or going out in nature, painting a picture. It doesn't have to take a lot of money. It doesn't have to take a lot of time, but it's real things. I've had clients tell me, like, when they have 10 extra minutes, they'd like to go in their backyard and put their bare feet on the grass. You know, when is the last time a mom went and laid in her backyard and looked up at the clouds? You know, right. So it's these kind of things that
we always see that in the movies. That doesn't really happen.
Exactly. And again, why I say it's such a courageous act, because you've got to be the first mom in your group to go, I went in my backyard and I laid there and I watched, you know, the clouds go by for 10 minutes and was responsible to nobody for 5 minutes, you know, because the other women in our circle, they want to be inspired by us. You know, they want to hear the hurdles that we had to cross, but they also want to have permission. You know, so to answer your question, the tips, my tips are to create a list of like 10, 20, 30, 40 things that fill you. I mean, something as simple as, you know, we're not doing video, but if you look, pretty much always I have white roses in my house. I just love them. So I walk by them and they just feed me. I like watching them open up throughout the week. You know, I like lighting candles. So they could sound mundane, but really what it's about is what really makes my soul sing, like sing out loud. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow, that's incredible. And just to connect with that, to really connect with your heart to what is important to you, because I think a lot of, not just moms, but just a lot of parents, if we have an extra hour, we might default, like maybe we'll watch that Netflix show or look on Facebook. But is that really feeding us? Is that really important? Or is it bringing us down to a different level? Maybe we're not supposed to do that now. Maybe we need to do something more inspiring.
So. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I will tell you, pretty much to my client, to the person, if I asked probably 20 moms or 20 clients, like, you had an extra hour, what did you do? Guaranteed, they're going to be like, I folded the laundry. I went to the market. Because I felt like, well, I would get one more thing off my to-do list.
Yeah.
One more thing done. And that's circling back to your question about guilt is, we mothers feel guilty. Well, if the laundry, like right now, I could tell you, I didn't even cross my mind, although it would have in the past. Right now, I have laundry piled up in my laundry room. Now, in the past, guaranteed, if I had been given that hour, this is kind of a revelation to me right now, even. guaranteed, in the past, if I had been given that hour, I would have gone and done the laundry. Guaranteed. And I had a girlfriend coming over for lunch, so I would have absolutely cleaned my house better.
Yeah.
But now I see how I've evolved, because I had the hour, the laundry didn't even cross my mind. I went and took a walk. I put my tennis shoes on. I got myself outside, because I just know, I've proven it out to myself enough times, that when my son comes home from school today, he needs me to be a certain kind of a mom. And if I had done the laundry versus gone for that walk, I would have been a different mom. Going for the walk, I'm going to be the mom he needs me to be. Now, granted, we all need to do the laundry. So the tasks of motherhood is not going to change. Like, I still need to do the laundry tonight. Like, I still have that on my list. It doesn't just miraculously go away. But what I can promise everyone listening is, when you feed your soul first with that, like with that walk, the me that's doing the laundry tonight, I'm going to actually be enjoy doing my laundry. I know it might sound like silly, but I'm going to be enjoy doing my laundry. I'm not going to be rolling my eyes. I'm not going to be resentful. I'm not going to be a martyr. I'm not going to be wishing my husband was doing it. I'm going to be fine with it. Why? Because I filled my own cup first. I went for my walk first. And I do. I feel great now. So
that's amazing. Yeah, you just gave me this insight too, that what I realized is that when I don't do this on purpose, but I realize I maybe I'm evolving like you and, you know, not putting the laundry and the dishes and cleaning the house first. Mm-hmm. What I find is that sometimes it happens naturally. I'll find my husband doing it, the kids helping out, cleaning. Can I clean my room? Can we clean the living room? And it's like this family thing. And then all of a sudden the dishes are done. My husband did the laundry and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm not saying that happens all the time, but occasionally it does.
Beautiful. And I think this is so important because we want that. And I think we as women need to take ownership that as long as we stay in the position of like, oh, I couldn't go take that walk today because I had to do the laundry, or I couldn't, you know, we martyr ourselves half of the time, right? And so what you're saying is so important, that you're learning to give yourself permission to put yourself on the map and look what's happening. Those around you, naturally, we all want to contribute. We all want to be helpful. So you're allowing that to be present in your home. I think that's beautiful. What a great example. Mm.
Yeah. And it's funny because it wasn't anything that I thought would happen, but I really did let it go. I didn't feel like this urgency to have my husband help out or the kids help out. It just started to happen. And so maybe they felt that ease that they could jump in. It wasn't like they had to.
Exactly. Because why? Because when you think about it, what we say what we say with words, but we're really always relating to each other through our energy. Right? Really, you think of the household that you grew up in, or I always say the mother is the spiritual heart of the home, you know, because our energy that we put out. And in my book, I talk about one of the things that really got me onto this soul path is the energy. My son could feel my energy. He could feel that I was serious and, you know, now it's time to do this and now it's time to do this and structured. And he said to me, he was the one that really inspired my book, because he said to me one day, it was like a light bulb. He said, Mom, you just really need to learn how to smile more.
Oh, it was that makes me cry.
I know.
That is so me. That is so me.
And he was right.
Yeah.
He was trying to say, Mommy, like life is to be lived and eaten up and, you know, and be in awe and joy. And I had gotten too far onto like, oh, I have to be scheduled. So we have bedtime on time. So you get enough sleep. So you wake up the next day. I had just gotten too far onto the other side that, you know, we all can, it can happen to any of us, you know?
Mm-hmm. That is so true. I think that's one of my intentions as a mom, is to have more fun, to be more fun.
Yes. And I always say, you know, moms tell me all the time, taking care of themselves feels selfish. But I dispute that. And I say, you know, I don't have 1 ounce of guilt to take care of myself, because I know the real selfishness is not to take care of ourselves. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, yeah.
When I don't take care of myself and I walk into a room and I'm uptight and I'm running on fumes and I haven't gotten, you know, taken care of myself, everybody around me can feel that. And so then they feel like they have to kind of walk on eggshells, or you know what it's like to walk in. And that was me. That was me. There was a time that I wasn't taking care of myself and I would walk into a room and everybody could tell, ooh, she's uptight. We better not say the wrong thing. We better. So that to me, that's narcissistic. Because then everyone is having to cater around to my energy. That's not generous. That's not fun. That's not relaxed. That's narcissistic. So it's not selfish to take care of yourself. When you take care of yourself, you're the one that walks into the room relaxed, lighthearted, more fun. And that is what moms want. They want your same intention, you know, to live this, the time that we have, more lighthearted, more connected. We want to be in joy with our kids. That's what we really want. We want to be close and connected and intimate, where we're the person that our kids come and tell everything to, you know, that because they feel close.
Mm. That's beautiful. I want to go back to what you touched on earlier about Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna's death. It was so beautiful what you wrote. How did you feel when you first heard the news of his death?
Felt heartbroken. I mean, the thought of Vanessa, his wife, losing her husband, and she has three other children. She also lost her daughter. I felt devastated for all the other people on that helicopter whose names we don't even know, you know, but they are, their families are equally as devastated. And I happen to have been at Agape at my spiritual center, and Michael Beckwith handled it so beautifully in the service. He had everyone close our eyes and send loving energy to all the families, but because he knew this was going to be a process. And I, like so many people, it really jolted me. I try to live my life. Actually, this is a tangential moment comment, but I saw an interview a long, this is like 20 years ago, that changed my life. It was with the Dalai Lama, and he said that every single day he meditates on, if today was the last day of my life, if I were to die today, how would I live my life? That changed my life. And I took that on like 20 years ago. Every day I do the same thing. If today, like if I was not going to be around when my son got home from school today, I know it might sound very, what would be the word?
Dramatic.
Yeah, dramatic. And also like not remorseful, but when you don't want to think
morbid.
About death.
Morbid.
Thank you.
Morbid,
thank you.
Yeah.
It might sound morbid, but I see it exactly the opposite. I see it like it really jolts me every day to the sobering reminder that actually we don't know how long we are going to have. And I want to live the life, you know, to its fullest that I do have. So the other part about the Kobe Bryant experience, it is so heartbreaking. There's just no words to when you really think about the heartbreak. And on the other side, I think it just wakes us up to want to live to our fullest with the time we've been given. That's why I wrote that email. For anyone who would like a copy of it, please just go to SusieLula.com. I'm sure we can put that when the podcast comes out, and you'll receive a copy of it. But yeah, that's how I felt. I feel devastated. I feel heartbroken. I feel my humanity has been woken up, because the whole world is mourning together. And I think it wakes us up to know that we are a humanity, and let us all be kinder to each other. Let us all be kinder to those around us, in front of us, our family of origin, our biological family, someone in the market, you know, someone on the freeway. That's how it hit me and has stayed with me. How about you?
Well, I mean, I could just feel, I was sad and mostly shocked. It just seemed like kind of all of a sudden, you know, and to have all those people at once. And I can feel energy. I could feel the joy actually of everybody in the helicopter, like right before it shifted. They were like in flow. They were having so much fun. They were exploring and getting to know each other and connecting. And so, and then that shift into the unexpected, it was very quick. And I'm not sure why I'm explaining this now. It's just like all coming to me, but it just did kind of get me in a place of, wow, it can happen before you know it, your own death, your own demise. And no matter how abundant, how wealthy you are, you can't prevent it.
Exactly. And that's what I think the takeaway, besides just all opening our hearts to these families, but to think about it, there are families all over this globe right now that we'll never hear of, that are going through their own tragedy and their own heartbreak and their own grieving. And it could be the loss of a life. It could be the loss of a child. It could be the loss of a marriage. It could be the loss of a relationship, the loss of a job. But it's in these moments that we are awakened to how precious our life is and how, you know, cliche as it might sound, not to take a moment for granted. And that kind of circles back to this idea of how could self-care possibly be selfish when living your best life allows you to cherish your life? And how often we get sidetracked because our culture is so fanatical about doing and achievements and the laundry, you know, it really takes us off course that we're spiritual beings here and we're here to connect with each other and have deep, meaningful relationships with each other. And let us not lose sight of that, you know. Mm-hmm. And if Kobe Bryant's life, I mean, what an amazing individual, but if this tragedy does nothing else but wake us up to live, you know, to express our love to each other more and to just, you know, bite into our lives more and to do the things that we maybe were fearful about, or to tell someone, forgive ourselves, you know, and live out the life that we've come here to live, then so much good will be coming from it, you know.
That's so true. So speaking of deep connections, tell me about your portal Luminous that you founded with Dr. Shefali.
Yeah, so it is an online community and a holistic, women only, and a body, mind, spirit. It is an online community, but I can tell you we're vulnerable, authentic. It's women supporting women. And Dr. Shefali, most of you probably have already heard of her. She is author of The Conscious Parent and has started this just huge life-changing conscious parenting movement on the planet to wake mothers and wake everyone up to the truth that children are their own spirits with their own destiny, their own purpose. And she's awakening planet Earth to this. And so she's changing, you know, the way that we have the privilege of getting to parent our kids. And she actually started this community, of which I am very, very, you know, blessed and honored to get to run it with her.
That's incredible. How did you two meet? I went to one of your events that you had together at someone's beautiful home in Los Angeles.
Oh, were you there?
I was there.
Oh my gosh. I so remember that now. Yes, yes. And in fact, what an interesting synchronicity. My client Susanna literally just left my house. She's the one I was just had lunch with that I didn't clean my house for. So what a small world. And she has a daughter with special needs. And so she has also become such a big advocate of self-care and soul care. But I met Dr. Shefali. I heard her on Oprah, like many, many people. And my mouth was just open. I just had never heard anyone say these things, and I felt them. It's what I said, you know, in my private practice to all of my clients, you know. And for those of us on a spiritual path, I think we know that our children are their own being, you know. And I just emailed her, never in a million years expecting to hear back. Just my support, my advocacy of what she's doing, how important the message is. And then tangentially, even as a therapist myself, I was still having some challenges with not acting out onto my son, projecting. Mm-hmm. He has ADD, and this was when he was very young, and I was the mom who was getting the calls from the teacher. He can't be quiet. He can't, you know, not kick the desk. He's the little energizer bunny. And so I actually called her and did some sessions with her. And then we just quickly, you know, we're just like-minded soul sisters, you know?
Yes.
So that I think if I'm thinking of the same evening that you're thinking of, just had arranged for her to come. I introduced her to Agape and had this evening with her at my client's house. And, you know, we're just very, very dear friends. And I'm so honored to get to be any kind of a mouthpiece to help her message get out, because it's so, so uber important, you know?
Absolutely.
But that's Luminous, incredible. But anyone listening who's interested in Luminous, you can go to my website, Luminous. You can join Luminous from my website or from hers. And, it's like the cost of a mani-pedi. It's like so inexpensive, but we come on weekly and we just dive into women's issues, you know, all things mind, body, soul. It's such a supportive community. It's amazing.
So, that sounds incredible.
Yeah.
I'm going to have
check
to
check it out.
I will. I'm going to look into it. Definitely. Okay. Let's talk about your book. Your book, yes, on motherhood. How was it writing and coming out with it? Can you share the process?
It was a phenomenal experience. It was, writing my book was actually an act of self-care, because it was challenging for me, I'm not going to lie. I wanted to just take a little bit of time every day to write. And it was challenging for me to give myself the permission. What I did was I'd go to my yoga class, and then after my yoga class, I'd go sit at this outdoor cafe that I love and write for a little bit every day. But it was a stretch for me, is the word that I'm looking for. It was a stretch to give myself that much permission to myself every day, or X number of times a week, however, you know, many times I wrote. But it was really an act of self-love and self-care, and then just really wanting, the book is just filled with my different clients' real journey with self-care, self-love, soul care, self-compassion, and the importance of a mother staying spiritually connected. I find that so many moms are dying on the vine. You know, we're going through motherhood, but we're dying on the vine. And so I'm clearly very passionate about, I really have a vision of changing the face of motherhood, because we think of motherhood and you know, when you really talk to moms, we're exhausted, we're putting everyone else first. And I really think it's important for our children to see us thriving, because we can't say to our child to thrive if we're not thriving, you know, and we can't want for our child to have a spiritual connection and keep their own spirit alive if we're dying on the vine. So it's my book is an offering. It's a contribution to motherhood and to moms who really want to live a thriving life, but maybe wonder how in the heck is that possible when I have three kids and I'm working and there's only so many hours in a day. I try to prove it out in the book that it's possible through the stories of my own clients, real, real stories.
Do you have one that you'd like to share?
Well, your example earlier about your family reminded me of a story. One of my clients, she just decided that she would take on weekly just buying flowers, just like I was saying, something as simple as that. And so she took on buying flowers every week, gave herself permission to just spend the extra money. And she liked arranging flowers. So then she'd get home and she'd arrange them. So it was the buying of it that felt good. It was the arranging of it that felt good. And then the unexpected part that came, and then she'd walk by, just like I was saying, and every time she'd walk by, it would bring her joy. But then the unexpected part that started happening was that she also had a teenage daughter. I think her daughter was only like 12, so maybe preteen, maybe 11, 12, preteen. And her daughter then, without her asking, her daughter started saying, "Oh, mom, can I help you?" And so then the mom and daughter started having this little unexpected but weekly ritual that they would do together. And out of that came all of these unexpected conversations where her daughter would just start opening up to her about stuff that was going on at school. And it got deep, like things like bullying and things like one of her friends was cutting herself. Ooh. And she disclosed this to her mom because the energy, like you were saying earlier, it was a relaxed energy that her mom wasn't saying like, how was your day? They were like cutting flowers, you know? That led then to them talking about one day their intentions around, she was saying, the daughter was saying something about body image. And like at 12 years old, how much pressure there was about kids and body image. So they started running together. So all of this came out of this mom's decision just for herself to have this private moment of buying flowers for herself. No one else in the family was going to know it. It was her own private thing of feeding her spirit, feeding her soul. And it turned in unexpectedly to a deeply bonding connection with her daughter.
That is so inspiring.
Yeah.
I was wondering
how simple it can be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like so beautiful that it just came about because they were doing something together and she felt safe. Yeah. I was wondering, as a parent, how can we help our children be more spiritual and kind to others?
Oh, what a great question.
That's a great selfish question. Reasons.
Well, that's a great question. The short answer is the more kind we are to ourselves, the more they'll see, the more we'll model it. And then that goes back to taking care of yourself. But you know, the deeper answer is that children come in so spiritually connected, obviously, because they are close to the other side. And so the real deep answer is to stay out of their way enough that they can maintain what is organic and true to every child. Every child is connected to their own essence and their own authenticity and their own sense of kindness and their own connection to their own spirit. And we as parents unintentionally and unconsciously train them away from looking at it. Why? Because we care so much about their grades and getting the laundry done and getting their teeth brushed. And not to say that all of that is not important, but we make it more important. We make it more important than them staying connected to their own spirit. There's nothing more. Like, I don't think you could have asked a more important question. How do we allow our children to stay more connected to their own spirit, their own sense of kindness, their own sense of human dignity, their own sense of caring for others, their own generosity of spirit? So it comes both from, you can't ask somebody that if you're not doing it, you know, it's like, you can't be sitting there eating a bag of peanut M&Ms and ask your child to then eat, you know, strawberries for dessert. Like, well, I'm having my M&Ms and you have your strawberries. Like, it's not going to happen. They're going to want your M&Ms. So part of it, right, is like, if I'm not connected deeply to my spirit, and that kind of goes back to my book, that was what I wanted out of my book, is that a mom would end up deeply reconnected with her spirit. So if we're connected to our spirits, you don't even have to say much. Your child, you'll just infuse your house in that energy, and then your child gets the benefit of getting to stay connected to where they already came in from, you know? But then secondarily, it's like just staying out of their way enough to know they're already so much more connected to their spirits than we are. So it's about us learning from them, you know?
Beautiful. How do you stay balanced in your family, love, and business?
That's a great question. Let me take a minute with that so I give you a real answer. I will say I've kind of tossed out that word balanced. I don't know that I do stay balanced because I think it's too effortful to try to stay balanced. So I think I've learned how to become very comfortable with the messy. right? Mm. So like if you came to my house right now, literally, you'd see bed sheets on my, you know, and my son's hamper is overflowing with, I don't know why this interview has been a lot about my dirty laundry, but dirty laundry getting messy, right? I've become so into like being perfectly imperfect. So I don't even strive for balance anymore. You know, there are days when I don't wash my face at the end of the day. I just climb into bed and that's okay. And because I'm a passionate person, I'm passionate about every one of my clients. I'm passionate about my book. I'm passionate about getting this message out there. I'm passionate like you about having my son stay deeply connected to his spirit. Having a boy who's 17 who can hold his head up and still be sensitive in this world. So I think how I stay, quote, balanced is that I've become good with my messy. I don't need to be perfect anymore. When I'm into what I'm into, that's good. And when something else needs to be on the back burner and we're ordering in for dinner, you know, and I'm not like making the spaghetti sauce from scratch, like that's okay too. You know?
Good job. You have evolved as a mom, I think, definitely. So I was hoping we could end with a wonderful meditation. Would you like to do one for our mothers?
I would love that. I would love that. So for anyone listening, assuming that you're not driving, if you're driving, keep your eyes open. But I know lots of people listen to podcasts in their car. So
yes, please pull over or push pause.
Or just, if you're driving, just listen and let it land upon your heart in whatever way it's going to. But if you are in a space that you can close your eyes, and if it feels right to you to place your hand on your heart, there's just something very ceremonious, a ritual about closing your eyes, turning away from the outer world. It's to tell your core self, your authentic self, that you are the most important thing is your being, your spirit, your soul, your heart, your inner life, because our inner life feeds our outer life. So we're just taking a moment. We're connecting with our inner life, our heart, our spirit, and we recognize that wherever we are individually, we are all inhaling and exhaling together. We're a sisterhood of moms. We're a sisterhood of women, and we're all breathing in the same air. We're all deeply connected. So out of this recognition that we are each and all deeply, deeply connected just by breathing in and breathing out, we allow our breath to take us more deeply into our own heart, into our own being, into our own life. We just set an intention in this meditation to connect with our own heart, maybe in a way that we haven't in a long time. And we just create a safe space inside, and we just create a welcoming, inviting atmosphere energy in our heart to just ask ourselves, what would feed us today? What would truly nourish us today? It could be something small, doesn't have to be something big, doesn't have to take a lot of time. What is your heart calling out to you about? How is your heart seeking to get your attention? What is it wanting you to know right now? What direction is it wanting to point you in right now? And just listen. And as your heart is speaking, directing or redirecting you, you're just saying thank you. Thank you so much for whatever wisdom is coming through. Even if nothing's coming through and you just recognize, oh, I just might need more moments like this, more moments to simply be still. And you begin to become grateful for whatever is coming through, whatever your heart is seeking to tell you, for you to know, whatever calling. And just in your own way, set an intention to come back to this place more often. Come back to your heart, your spirit, your highest self, your own North Star, whatever you want to call it, source energy. That place inside that knows that it knows what you need. And just make your own vow to come back to it more often, to follow it, to be obedient to it. Because it will always, always, always guide us into our greatest yet to be. And so then whenever you're ready, just gently open your eyes with gratitude.
Thank you. I love, see, a meditation can be so short and efficient and meaningful. It's like you don't need, I mean, a lot of people will say, you know, they don't have time to meditate, but even just taking a couple minutes to be, and you can even play this over and over again. If it's easier sometimes to listen to someone else. I know it is for me.
Absolutely.
To listen to someone else's meditation. Yeah.
Absolutely. I say that especially to moms who have so much that we do have to do, and we are taking care of others all the time. It's nice to just receive and get to have someone else guiding you through a meditation. It's one of the greatest gifts moms get, you know?
That's awesome. I feel like I could talk to you for 3 hours and we would never run out of things to say. I mean, you are so, I mean, I haven't even scratched the surface in getting to know you, but I just feel complete today. And we shared a lot of great information and I just really appreciate you taking the time to share with our audience.
My pleasure, my honor. I can't wait to share it, and may everyone listening just feel so enriched. And I thank you for the work that you're doing. So it's really great. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Oh yeah, definitely. We'll have a part two sometime.
Okay. Absolutely. Sounds great.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.